Well, hello, everybody. What's up to all my real estate warriors out there? So if you're listening to this, you are still fighting the battle and staying in the way that we're going to win this thing. And as of today, we are standing on the brink of some transformative changes in our industry. And it's crucial for each and every one of you to evaluate your business with an impartial eye and prepare to march into this new age of real estate. Your financial well-being is being challenged, but fear not. Optimizing your workflow, marketing more effectively, and embracing cost-saving measures is going to be your armor in this fight. And in today's episode, we're laying out a roadmap to your survival and success. This is the Texas Real Estate and Finance Podcast, and I'm your host, Mike Mills, a local mortgage banker with Geneva Financial, and I am here today to show you the future of real estate. Question is, are you ready to do what's necessary to succeed? Now, what if I told you that there was a tool out there capable of mapping out your business's future over the next 3 years, crafting a targeted marketing approach, pinpointing your value proposition, and optimizing your real estate practices? And all of this for just $20 a month. Would you jump at the chance to use it? Well, today we've got an expert with us who's ready to do more than just talk about this tool. They're here to show you step-by-step how to put it into action. But before we jump into the meat of the episode, here's a small request. If today's episode enlightens or even entertains you a little bit, please consider liking, commenting, sharing to your network, or even giving us a review. Your engagement is the cornerstone for this little community, and without your voices, it's just me talking into the ether. So let me know what you think. I would greatly appreciate it. Now, in the realm of real estate artificial intelligence, there are those out there that can tell you what it is. They can show you how to sign up and maybe even give you a few tricks on how to use it for a few specific tasks. But today, I welcome back to the podcast someone who has written books, developed seminars, and created an entire online course about the topic and is considered one of the authorities in the AI space. And she's back again on the show to show us how to use these tools in ways you never knew possible. So please welcome Ginger Bell back to the podcast. Hello, Miss Ginger. How are you? You doing good? I think I lost Ginger. Okay. Well, I'm going to vamp here for just a second since she popped off for a minute. We'll get her back. But what we're going to do today is we are going to talk about AI. We're going to talk about how to use AI effectively in your business to develop different tools that are going to help you grow during this time. And then let's get Ginger back on. Ginger, we there? Oh, lost her again. Okay. We're having technical difficulties today, so I'm not sure if it's my end or her end, but we're going to keep going. So what Ginger's going to do with us today is when we look at AI and we're looking at developing this tool to help us with our business, there's a lot of things that it has a value and use for that many people don't fully understand. And one of the keys to it is being able to fully understand how to communicate with AI. Because, you know, it's one thing, like with ChatGPT, which is something that we're going to talk about quite a bit today. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that are running classes to show you like how to sign up, you know, how much it costs on a monthly basis, where exactly, you know, how you can create certain tasks, whether you want to write listing descriptions for your MLS or whatever. But ultimately, the key to using ChatGPT is being able to communicate with it and being able to talk and speak its language. It's kind of like coding, essentially. And what Ginger's been able to do, I mean, she's written books on it. So for example, this is what's called the AI Prompt Handbook. This is an entire book that Ginger wrote on how to use prompting in AI. And when she gets back on here in just a second, she's going to show us how to do this. But ultimately, you know, with the commission structures being threatened today, with, you know, all of these judgments coming down and these settlements being hashed out in our space, what we have to be aware of is we have to create ways and find ways. Oh, let's see if we got her back. We got you back? There she is.
It's been that kind of day. Hey, Mike.
Tell me about it.
What a great intro.
That was just me. I was vamping there for a few minutes to get you back on here. So.
I know. And you know, it's one of those, it's a great buildup. It's like, but we're going to make you wait. But no, we're going to make you wait.
But it's coming. It's okay. So, I wanted to, you know, kind of establish with everybody. So everybody understands, you know, who you are and what you're doing here. And you're not just another person here to talk about ChatGPT. So anybody that doesn't know Ginger, she's got over 20 years experience creating educational material for mortgage and real estate space. So literally this is what she does. She's the founder of EduMarketing. It's a media production agency that specializes in AI and video marketing services. And she has an entire online AI mastery resource center on how to learn how to use ChatGPT and other AI tools for your business. Not to mention, she's also a 15-time best-selling author, and so education is just pretty much her jam. She knows her way. She knows what she's talking about when we go into this. So it's kind of, it's an understatement to say she knows what she's doing. I mean, I literally have books and books and books. We even have a children's book, which I thought it was amazing right here. This New Adventure Home. I love that. Those listening can't see this stuff, but she's got the AI podcast or agent podcast guide. If you want to start a podcast like this, we've got our agent podcast planner. So we need to put that together. And then of course the all important AI prompt handbook, which, you know, my lighting's kind of throwing that off, but you can see that there too. So Ginger is literally the utmost authority on how to do this stuff. And as a matter of fact, she's actually, if you're listening to this and you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, she is coming to the Arlington Board of Realtors on April the 17th. And we are going to do a 3 or 4 hour seminar, just workshop, just on these topics. Like, we only have an hour today and we're going to get through as much as we can. But I really encourage, if you're in the area, to sign up for the class. I'll actually have a link in the show notes and on the on Facebook and LinkedIn, and it'll have all the links in there too. So if you guys want to sign up, you can. But we're just going to scratch the surface in an hour that we have today. But on the 17th, she's really going to go into depth on how to create this stuff, and it's super important for your business today. So Ginger, my first question to you really is, you know, knowing what you know about what's going on right now, I kind of briefly talked about it when I was vamping there for a second, but knowing what you know about what's happening with these settlements and the commission structures, why is a tool like this today so incredibly important for realtors and even lenders to be able to use and maximize with everything changing like it has?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been in the industry for a long time, so we all know, you know, the only constant is change.
Right.
And so, being, first of all, aware of the change, I think, is the most important thing. And then how to navigate through the change. And then what tools can you use to be able to stand out, build your business? You know, one of the things, obviously, with the NAR settlement, and, you know, we haven't even scratched the surface on what that's going to look like.
Yes.
And I know, you know, for all of us in the industry, mortgage and real estate aside, you know, it's a matter of saying, okay, how do I shift in doing my business? Because at the end of the day, someone needs to buy a house, someone needs to sell a house, and you need a real estate agent, and you need someone to give you money to buy the house. So, I mean, all of those things, nothing's gone out of that piece.
Right.
So the only change is, how do you build the value, especially as a buyer's agent, and what that looks like. And so, you know, that's the thing to be aware of. And one of the things we're going to go through in depth in this workshop, and the reason why it's not a 1 hour workshop. This is one of the things, you know, and I'm an educator. And so I want to make sure that people don't just, you know, say, hey, yeah, Ginger, that's great. We need to, you know, use AI. But how are you going to use that?
Right.
What does that look like? Right. What are the tools? You know, what do you need to write for a prompt? I mean, that's the thing for me. It's like, I want to know that you're going to have the tools. So, you know, one of the things, and ChatGPT, I loved your intro. You said, you know, 20 bucks a month. I mean, that's not getting two Starbucks.
No. It's less than two Starbucks. That's right. Yeah.
So it's like totally cool. And the thing of it is, what's so cool with ChatGPT, it's like adding a marketing team, you know, branding team, an idea team, proposal. I mean, it's like there's so many things that you can use ChatGPT for.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as far as the whole NAR settlement, it's like, okay, use it to write your value propositions, because
yes,
that's what you're going to be needing to now give to your clients, is what is that value proposition, right?
Yeah. One of the discussions that we've been having a lot lately is, you know, when it comes to these changes in how commissions can be paid out by, you know, by the seller, and not allowing on, you know, the MLS to offer buyer agent commissions as part of the listing, is this is going to be the first time in a long time, or really probably ever, that a buyer's agent's had to sit down with the buyer in many cases before they even show them the house,
right,
and discuss with them what exactly their services are and why they have that value. Now, there is still some, you know, a little bit of consternation or whatever about, can you, you know, have two different ways? Like if the seller pays your commission, then it'll be 2%. But if the buyer pays it, then it'll be $2,000 or, you know, whatever. There's ways that you can set it up. But at the end of the day, you're still going to have a conversation with the buyer that says, if you find a listing that is a home, what am I going to charge you?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things.
Wonderful tech issues today. We all know what we do. We understand, you know, what we're doing and how we're putting it together. But sometimes putting that stuff into words can be a real challenge for people. And I think that's where this stuff really plays a role.
Yeah. And you know, I think some of it too is sometimes people are afraid to have that conversation at the beginning because they just want to build that rapport.
Yeah.
But you know, when you do it the right way and you build that value, then I think it makes it easier to be able to have it up front.
Yes.
And the other thing is, we all know what's happening with all of this because we're in the industry, but your buyers and sellers don't know that it's anything different.
No.
And so, I mean, honestly, it's probably something that we should have been doing before anyway.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Getting that value, right?
Yep.
And we went through this when we had all of our LO comp changes in the industry. We went through exactly the same thing, right? It's like, okay, what are the business models? How can you be paid? You know, and we had several changes that affected LO comp.
Yes.
And so you know, you just have to navigate through it. And, you know, even the last one with TRID and everything now, you know, being on the loan estimate. And so guess what? That just means you just tell, this is what I'm going to get paid and this is why.
Yes.
And this is what I do for you.
Yep.
And people don't expect you to help them buy or sell their home for free.
No.
They know. Yep. The only difference is that you're going to have a conversation up front. So that's, you know, it's part of it. You know, before I got into the mortgage industry some 20 years ago, I was a corporate trainer with Dale Carnegie Training. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we taught a lot in Dale Carnegie had a course called the Sales Advantage. And so the very first week was going through writing your value proposition. Yep. Because if you don't know what your value is, how can you possibly explain it to anyone else? So that's one of the things, Mike, in this workshop, I'm allocating. And because this change did come through, I'm going to allocate a fair amount of time to where we walk through that. And
yes.
What does a value proposition look like? And then how can you, because with ChatGPT, we can set up a prompt where you can fill in, you know, what's the price range that they're looking at. You know, it's like you can set some things up ahead of time. So when you go into that buyer's meeting, you can have a dossier that explains your services, what you provide, what you're going to do, all of those to where you're ready to go. And you will stand out. So
yes.
That's the whole thing. It's like, what we want to do is say, okay, this is where we are. This is a world we're living in. We know that. So how can we leverage it? How
yes.
can we shift and leverage it to stand out? And that's what we always want to do, is to do that. So you don't have to go in apologizing, saying, well, there was this NAR settlement. Nobody knows. I mean, some people may know, but most people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so you build that.
Because you're not involved in it every day. They don't spend all their time doing it like we do. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it will definitely, we will see change. And even on our side, on the
yes.
market side, we have to figure out where does that go and
yep.
where does that fit and what's going to change with that. So there's some changes we need to get through. But you know what? A year from now,
it'll just be the way
do you remember TRID?
No, it's just the way we do business now. It is what it is.
It's not a big deal. So we will get through this, but get ahead of it
Yes. And
use the tools that you can stand out. And that's one of the things I'm so excited about this workshop, because not only are we going to get into, okay, let's write your value proposition, but what are the other things you can do to stand out? And with AI, and you know, it's amazing how it is changing so fast. Mm-hmm. And people really want to be involved with it. It's interesting. I had a conversation this morning with the founder of an AI tool that is called Be Human, the letter Be Human.
Okay.
And they provide a great service. It's a cloned video of you. So you record a video.
Okay.
And then in that video message, you can type in a script and that clone of you will read the script and it seems like it's you.
Uh-oh.
Right? That's dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, it's also
dangerously good. I mean, yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, those are the kind of things. It's like, okay, how can I use something like that?
Yes.
And so those are some of the tools that we're doing to be able to do that. There's another one. It's called Hey Jen, does the same kind of thing. And they just put out, they had on their social feed where they created same kind of thing. It's kind of like we're getting into like avatar world kind of a mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. And so they had put on their social, hey, give us, you know, type in the comments what you want. And I think his name was Peter to say. And so somebody, what was it? Oh, I have to look it up. But it was a really funny thing as far as like, you know, why ducks swim, you know, with their feet paddling. I mean, it's just obscure things.
Right.
And the guy read it. He was walking in a park. He was having a conversation. And it's like, so wow. It's crazy the things that are happening. It's not just ChatGPT.
No, there's a million tools out there. Yeah. And that's where, you know, I think people hear about it, but they don't fully understand what's really going on because we don't see it in our daily lives yet every day. Or I should say, we don't recognize that we see it in our daily lives every day. But understand the most powerful and influential companies on the planet right now are sinking every dollar that they have into investing in this technology. Microsoft, Google, Facebook, even Tesla, all of these companies are spending crazy amounts of money buying up companies that are developing this stuff because they're trying to consolidate the intellectual property to be able to develop this technology and get ahead of everybody else. So when the most powerful companies in the world are spending every dollar that they have to invest in this, it needs to be something that you pay attention to because it can serve you. There's a reason why it's so powerful. And the key to it is you just need to know how to use it. You got to know how to use it because it's fine to sit down. And I've done this with my wife, who's a realtor. And I'm like, hey, I've set up this, and we'll get into personas here in just a second, but I set up a persona for her so she could go in there and kind of start creating stuff. And she's just asking basic questions. I'm like, no. Like you can prompt it. And I've showed her how to kind of put prompts together to create things. And it takes a minute because it's so foreign to get used to it. Like, but nowadays for me, after we've kind of had I use it all the time and almost everything I do, I don't copy and paste everything, but it is a way to get my brain going so I can write, so I can create. And that's really what this is. So let's start with the whole concept of personas. Okay. Because when you were talking about earlier on about, okay, you can have a marketing expert, you can have a, you know, accounting expert, you can have all these people that are basically working for you, like your employees that you can ask questions. Part of that process is setting up personas. So can you explain, we did this on our last podcast. So, you know, anybody that didn't hear our first one, go back to that. We got into some more basics of it, but I want to jump right into the persona side of things. Explain what a persona is and what the power of it is.
Yeah. So in ChatGPT, you can create a persona and it's called a GPT or an agent. And in it, you can give it specific directions on what you want it to do, to say, how to act, what voice you want it to write in. I made a persona that was for a loan officer specializing in VA home loans. And so the nice thing with the personas too is you can actually set it up to where it has all of your licensing information in there, all of your websites in there, all of your social media links in there, all of your hashtags in there. And so when you set it up one time and give it specific directions saying, okay, on my social media posts, I want you to include my full website. Mm-hmm. And I want you to include my phone number. I don't want you to include my email. I mean, you can get very specific. And the thing I love about the personas is you set that up one time and it remembers that. So like the VA loan officer, we then uploaded the VA handbook. And so you can upload into, it's called knowledge. And so you can put into the knowledge your guidelines. If you have overlays for anything, you can upload those in there. You can have an FHA one. You can have one for conforming. You can have one for VA. And then you want it to act as a loan officer. And so we use, in doing a prompt, we use an ATM method, which is A is act. How are you going to act as? So act as a loan officer. And then T is the tell it. So tell it what you want it to do. So I want you to act as a loan officer, and I want you to create a social media post for active, and you can get active, non-active, I mean, whatever you want to do as far as veterans, talking about why they need to use their VA home loan benefit. And so now it's going to have that knowledge base in there. And so you can include in it, okay, I want you to tell me how much they need down, what they need. I mean, you can, whatever you want to put in there, you can be as much or as little. And then it's going to pull from that knowledge. It's going to include everything that you've already set up in that persona. And it's going to give you really good content. That's one of the things, honestly, people get started with chat. I was just talking to someone the other day. He goes, it's not giving me very good content. And it's like, that's because you're not asking for very good content.
Right. Yes.
So I always say you have to think about when you create these personas and you think about, you know, what are the different roles, whether it's marketing, whether it's answering emails, whether it's writing guidelines, whether it's writing a value proposition. Those are all things that you can honestly set up a persona for.
Well, I actually created a persona that is a business planner because there are a few other, and this is how I did it. I actually went, I asked ChatGPT, if you were planning a business, what qualities or traits would you find in a person that would be an effective business planner? And then it listed out all the qualities and traits. Yeah. And I asked it, how would it communicate? You know, what would be core competencies that it would have to have of market knowledge, et cetera. So I asked it all these questions. Then it created a kind of a roadmap of who this person was. And then I created a persona based off of that. And then I can go in there and now ask that person to help me create a business plan for this, or, you know, and I'm helping different folks with things, podcasting stuff, whatever, but it's like, help me create a business plan for this. And it says, here's the steps that you need. And you can get really granular with it. I created one to help me evaluate stocks. I mean, it's real basic, but it is, if I give it the data, what kind of answers is it going to kick out? So when you were talking about before, about literally having a GPT or a persona that can handle all aspects of your business, you can create one specifically for marketing. You're a marketing expert for real estate. Your focus is social media. You know, here are the qualities. Here's the way you communicate. All right, I want to create a post about this. How would I do that?
Yeah.
And that's the power of it, is that you can literally create, and you just need to know how to do it. And it's really not that difficult once you understand the process.
Yeah. And it'll, like you said, it'll tell you,
exactly.
How do I do this? Yeah, yes. We have, you know, in my edge marketing business, we do video production, podcast production. And so we have for each of our clients set up a GPT, a persona for each of our clients. And so what we can do is take transcripts from their videos and create a voice guide that's how they sound. And so you can teach the GPT to give you content in your voice. What's funny is we did an experiment a while back when Chat first came out, just playing around with different voices that it would give you content in. Mm-hmm. And so we asked it to write a first-time homebuyer social media post. And the first post was write it at a fifth grade level. Mm-hmm. And so it was very simple. Hey, how you doing? Are you thinking about it? And then the next one, we said, okay, write it for someone with a PhD. And so totally changed it. And yes. And then the third one was, we said, write it like Snoop Dogg. And it changed all of that. And the thing that's so fun with the personas too is you can actually set it up to where you can have standard prompts. So like for us, because we do a lot of podcast production, we have a standard prompt that has all the information in there that we need for producing the podcast, you know, the YouTube description, the transistor, the social media, the, you know, all the promotions. And we have one prompt. And so all you do is we've set it up because it has all the client's information, has all your information, your NMLS, all that information in there. You hit a prompt and then it says, okay, yes, I'll start creating the content. Please give me the number of the episode, the title of the episode, the guest name, the guest website. And it gives you that. So all you have to do is copy and paste that in and fill it in and then hit next. And then it just takes off.
Yeah.
And so the power of it, I mean, you can cut your time that you're spending, first of all, coming up with ideas. And you know, it has so many different, you know, ideas that it'll come up with. But if you have a simple prompt, we have one, and again, I'll go through this in the workshop, where it's create my weekly marketing for me. And so we've set up the prompt, and then you set that prompt, and then I have a list of 300 different real estate topics.
Yes.
Honestly, all you have to do is take one real estate topic, put it in there, and it will start and it'll create all your content for the entire week. And it's like, you can be literally done in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I use it regularly, pretty much exclusively for the podcast. I actually was paying different services over the last couple of years for creating show notes and creating, like, you know, pulling out clips and giving me, like, you know, quotes and things like that. And, you know, I was paying $200-$300, $400 a month for some of these. And then once I learned how to do the prompting with inside ChatGPT, now all I have to do is upload the transcript, which I do in three parts, and I'll tell it, you know, just like you showed me, I'm going to give you three parts of the transcript. I want you to evaluate each part and don't do anything basically until I've uploaded everything. Mm-hmm. And then once I've uploaded it, then it's like, okay, what do you want me to do now? And then I've created these prompts, and all I'm doing is going to a Word document essentially and copying, pasting my prompt every time, changing a couple of things. And it not only creates the stuff for you, but it'll give you options. So like I've built into my prompt. So like, you know, when you create a question or a hook for something that you're trying to do, like I want it, it's in my voice. It's because I've created my persona and it's in my voice, but I don't always like what it says. So I say, okay, well, give me five choices on each one of these. And it'll give me five choices. And I can go in and say, okay, I like this part and I don't like that part, and I can adjust it. But just that process of alone, I can now produce, or, you know, basically edit and put out a podcast in 30 minutes because, you know, where it used to take me hours to get it all put together because of these prompting and just putting it together. So the power of it is so incredible that, but the key to it is you have to understand how to communicate with it. And that's where the prompting comes into such a big play. I mean, it's so important. Like I said, you wrote an entire book about it. Yeah. So like, and this isn't a thin book, by the way, this, this is a lot. So the point being is like, there isn't an exact science to it, right? You are you're literally creating a language to communicate with something that is an electronic entity, for lack of a better way to put it, right? And so you have to be able to speak its language, and it's constantly adapting and changing, which means that you kind of have to constantly adapt and change, or at least refine a little bit, because once you get some basic protocols built in and some basic prompts set up for the day-to-day operation stuff that you're doing, it's pretty much it's pretty automatic. But when you want to get a little more granular on things or make adjustments, then you got to start changing how you prompt a little bit, maybe rephrasing things. It's a big player in it. And this is a big part of your AI mastery course about learning how to refine your prompts after you've used them for a while to get better at it. So with prompting itself, why is that such a big key? And why is that a piece that isn't as prevalent, it's as far as people understanding how to do it, than it should be? Because that's the real key in learning to use this technology.
Yeah. So it is kind of like, if you think of the genie in the bottle, right? It's like you get three wishes. So you need to think about what are those three wishes. And, you know, it's all in how you ask. And so, you know, say it, you know, if you get a wish and you say, hey, you know, I'd like to live for a long time. What's a long time?
Right. How long?
Yeah. How long? I mean,
what define living? Do you want to just be breathing, or do you want to like be active? Yes.
So it's like you have to get, you know, it's really refining that. And becoming, honestly, it's becoming a good prompter. And so that is the key. So ChatGPT, it's learning. And so it learns you as well. And so we're starting to see it learning more. And I mean, that's the whole idea with this. It's a language, it's a learning model.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the more you use it and the more you ask and the more you refine and the clearer you get, then the better results. I'll give you an example. I had some spreadsheets that I was working on with some numbers the other day. And so I wanted ChatGPT to give me an analysis of the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so I had to really think about, you know, what numbers do I want? What do I want to get out of this? And it took me a couple different times refining it, because then I realized, you know, I was asking it and it didn't really understand what I was asking. So then I had to think about, okay, what do I really want? And then once it gave me those numbers and it gave me the information, I said, okay, now I want you to put this information, because it had just listed it out. I said, I want you to put it into columns. And it did that, but it kept putting it into code. And then I said, well, I want you to put into columns, I can put into a Word document. So then it told me how to put it. So I mean, I went way, way off.
Right.
And so I had to bring it back and refine the prompt and get very specific about what I wanted. And then it gave me exactly what I wanted. Right. But, and I think that's the frustration that people have.
Yes.
It's like, it's not giving me what I want. And you have to learn how to ask better questions.
Yes.
And so that's part of the refining, you know, part of the ChatGPT mastery course that I wrote. It goes through the different types of prompts. So most of us do, it's called a one-shot prompt. Mm-hmm. You put it in there, I'm going to ask one time, and that's it. And then there's the two-shot prompt, where it's like, okay, you put it in, wasn't what I wanted, so then you keep asking. Right. And it's three-shot, four-shot, whatever. But then there's a dual prompt where you can actually set it up that you can ask it to do two things at one time. Mm-hmm. And that's when it gets better. What we've set up and what I have really mastered over time, I mean, literally months and months testing, refining, is called a tree of thought prompt.
Okay.
And so in a tree of thought prompt, and you think of a tree begins with the base, right? So we have the trunk. And so you have the base goal in the prompt of what it is that you want it to do. So for example, develop my content for the week, my marketing content for the week, that's your base. And then your branches are going to be, I want it to write a video script. I want it to write the social media post. I want it to write the YouTube description. I want it to write my newsletter. I want it to write my blog post. So you're gonna have all of those branches, and it all begins with the marketing. And then when you set this up, and this is what we're going to go through in the workshop, you set this one prompt up, put it in your GPT. All you have to do is hit enter and you set it up to say, oh, absolutely, I'll create this. What is your topic for the week?
Right.
So all you have to do is put in that topic and then it starts developing all that content. That's prompt mastery. And so what you want to do is really learn how to prompt, because there, I mean, Google has its own Bard and Gemini, and you know, there's others that'll come out.
Gronk with Twitter's got Gronk.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, there's going to be some, and chat may be the one that hangs on. Google may take the lead.
It's communicating either way. I mean, and exactly. That's the thing, is like, our job as salespeople is, we communicate with people every single day. That's what we do. If you're in sales, if you're a realtor or a mortgage person, and you are dealing with clients every day, the reason that you have success at that is because you are good at communicating with those people. If you weren't, then you would not have success and you wouldn't be in the business. Right. So all we're talking about when we talk about prompting is communicating effectively with this tool, because the communication piece is so important, because that's what's going to get you the results. And the beauty about this is that this isn't something when you sit down every week or every day to create whatever it is you're trying to create, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time, because once you craft these prompts and you put them together, you're literally saving them on documents that you just copy and paste into chat, and it spits out exactly what you're looking to do. And that's where having help on creating these and setting it up, it's kind of like meeting with an accountant and them helping you set your business account. Okay, you need a checking account, you need a savings account, you need a business credit card, you need an LLC. They're going to help you kind of put all these pieces together, so then it just runs like a well-oiled machine. It doesn't mean that your accountant is going to, you know, put in your transactions every day, or they're going to, you know, go get gas in your car. There are still things that you're going to have to do right. In order to use this tool, yeah. Right? It's not just push a button and it does its thing, but there are so many shortcuts that you can create that the amount of time that it's going to save you when you would have to do all of these other things is going to dramatically affect how often you're now able to go meet with clients, how often you're able to, make phone calls and reach out and do the personal touch that's going to be so important in this world that we're moving into.
Yep, absolutely.
So when we're thinking about, let's talk about the value proposition first. Okay. We can get kind of granular on this, but let's just an overview on it. If you were crafting a prompt to ask, you know, first off, you'd have to create a persona for yourself, because that's the most important thing to get your correct answer. But then let's assume you've done that. And now you're like, okay, what kind of prompt? Give me some examples of something, you know, that you could say, or you could type into ChatGPT that would get a result that would be beneficial for you when it comes to creating specifically a value proposition.
Well, I think, you know, in crafting something like that, you want to, you know, set up your own, you know, personal as far as who you are in the GPT. And then setting up the prompt would be, you know, building off of my expertise, write a value proposition for. And you can set it up to where if you want to get a specific for the client, yep. And I will give you the client's name in the next. And then you can include, provide a value proposition, including all of the things that I will be providing as far as value, and whether it's a buyer, whether it's seller, you can set up one for the buyer, one for the seller, and set all of that in there. And then depending on, you know, which way you're going to go, and you could even include it where it's the option. I mean, we haven't gone through enough of, is it going to be the seller? Is it going to be the buyer's paying for it? So that's going to take a little bit of, you know, you're going to have to test it out.
Well, people are going to have to create that right now, because, by the way, you're not going to get any direction for a little bit on exactly what you can or can't do, or how it's going to be trial and error for brokerages and for different. So you're going to, and it's not that I think it's a brilliant thing to set up. Here's my buyer agent persona and here's my seller agent persona. Exactly. I have two separate personas that are going to create content for me in both, because you're going to need that, especially on the buy side, because it's going to be kind of a new ballgame.
Well, and you're going to have to really oversell yourself in a way, because you're going to have to list out, here's all the things that I'm going to do for you as a buyer's agent.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think, and this is part of that discovery, is thinking, what are all the things that you do as a buyer's agent? And why would somebody pay for that? And I think that's part of it too, in building that value proposition, that often people miss the why. Why is that important? You know, I'm going to get a mortgage. You have to go through, you know, a loan originator in order to get a mortgage.
Yes.
So, but building that value as to why work with you is what you build automatically in your value proposition for your team, for your LOs that, you know, work for you. That's part of it. And so it's getting into that on the buyer's agent side to say, you set up the prompt, you know, write a value proposition for, you know, this client, insert the name, and include all of the services that I'm going to be providing as a buyer's agent.
Which you can ask ChatGPT to help you create as well.
And you can ask them. Yeah. It's like, do that. And why is that important? And so, and then the other thing that I think is important, and people often miss it, is what is the call to action?
Yeah.
So, you know, include that. And so you can set that up to where it becomes very easy. You don't have to think about it every time. It's just right. You're writing a proposal and you hit, oh, I've got it set up. We're going to go. Boom. So I'm excited to, I mean, honestly, going through this workshop, I think is going to be a blast because we're going to get people, first of all, to streamline something that they're probably struggling with right now. Just getting your head wrapped around it. And that's the thing that I love with AI is it helps you to really get through some of those things. So,
well, really and I think that people miss too that, you know, when you have these questions about, well, how do I do, like when you say, okay, you can have it create a value proposition, you're going to have to put in what, you know, what you do as a buyer's agent. Well, you might sit there and go, well, I mean, I know I do this. And that's, you know, because you're thinking, you're like, man, I only came up with like five things. There's way more, obviously. Yeah.
Exactly.
But because you're put on the spot and your brain's like, I don't know. Well, then you go into ChatGPT and you're like, hey, what does a buyer's agent do? You just ask that question. And then it spits out 50 things that a buyer's agent's going to do. And you go, oh yeah, I forgot. I do that. Oh, well, that's not quite right. I actually do it this way, you know, but it creates all of those steps for you and says, here's all the things. And that's where it's an idea generator to some extent, because the pieces that you can't quite think of at that moment, it's going to be able to prompt you, and it's prompting you to remind you, hey, these are all the things that you do. This is what you need to remind your buyers of, because this is going to be important. And then you can even put in there, why is number two on the list important? Why is having access to the homes important? Why is interpreting a seller's disclosure important? You know, and you can include that in there, because, and then when you go sit down and have your first buyer's consultation, you now have a customized value proposition for that buyer that literally took you 5 minutes to put together because you had built out all the frameworks previously, created your prompt, created your persona, put all that together. So now you can sit down with your buyer and go, here's what I'm going to do for you. And it's all laid out and you didn't have to spend an exorbitant amount of time doing it. And that's where the power of this is going to come into play for this moment in time, because that value proposition to your buyers and to your sellers is going to be so incredibly important when these conversations start happening. It's going to for a little bit, I think, while the rates are still high, which they're going to be high for a little bit, and the market isn't churning and burning, it's going to be less, maybe less of an important thing because it's kind of going to be business as usual for a little bit. But as soon as July hits and those things come off the MLS where you can't list them anymore, and now you have to have these conversations, you have to submit your buyer's rep agreement. Now you're going to have this really dialed in. So that means you got to start working on it now. Like you can't wait until that happens at that point.
Exactly.
So let's talk about we talked a little bit about the marketing stuff ahead of time or earlier, but I want to get in a little bit more of the marketing side of things. So people use ChatGPT to help them create marketing material, help them create marketing ideas on how they're going to post on social media, whatever. But another thing that I think gets missed is you have to understand who your prime customer is, because if you don't tell chat who you're trying to market to, like whether you're trying to go for veterans or first-time homebuyers or first-time homebuyers in Texas living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or whatever the case may be, because as specific as you can get, the better answers you're going to get. When you're starting to create that stuff, why is it so important that you have to understand who your client is before chat's going to be able to really give you good answers on what you're looking to create for marketing material?
Yeah. So I think in order to answer that question, you need to understand how ChatGPT or any of these, pre-generative trained transformers work, right? Mm-hmm. They're based on language modeling and they've loaded in tons and tons and tons of content. And this brain, if you will, analyzes it and it looks at patterns. So it's looking at patterns. So for example, if I tell you, okay, tell me the next word for once upon a
time,
right? Yeah. You know that.
I do.
And so, but if I said, okay, now let's say once upon a time, what would the next word be?
I mean, it could be a million different things.
It could be once upon a time in, land far, far away. Once upon a time, there was a little girl. Once upon a time. So that next word, there's, you know, the first word time is like pretty much, okay, yeah, that's general. We know that. And ChatGPT knows some of those general things, but the next part is what it doesn't know. And so it may go down one direction where it goes, okay, once upon a time in a land far, far like away, there was a dragon. And it's like, no. I don't want that story.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're setting up, and that's why prompting is so important. So you would say, okay, you know, I want you to tell me the story once upon a time about a dragon who lived in a cloud and had a friend named Charles. So now I'm getting very specific with it on what direction I want to go in, right?
Right.
Same thing for your marketing. So if you're saying, I want you to act as a loan officer, mm-hmm. talking to who's your audience. So act as who's your audience, talking to first time home buyers. That means they've never owned a home, right? And I want you to tell them what are the first three steps that they need to take. Now, chat may take those first three and they may not be what you agree with.
Right.
So you can say, you know, take the first three steps, which is, first of all, you know, get pre-approved. Second of all, you know, go look at properties. Third, you know, make sure that, you know, you're working with a licensed loan. I mean, whatever those three are.
Right.
And then let it run. So you have to help it going through that once upon a time story. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you have to tell it everything, but you need to give it direction because it has so much information that it doesn't necessarily know. And then you need to tell it in, you know, what's the level, you know, Definitely. Do you want it at a fifth grade level? Do you want it funny? Do you want it? And some of that you can set up just as a standard in your GPT to where always write in this, never include this, always that. But that's why. So it's a matter of, you know, setting those prompts up so that you have the expectation mm-hmm. and that way you're not frustrated with it. And chat, it makes mistakes. That's the other thing. It's like not everything is always accurate.
And it gets lazy these days. Have you noticed that too? It gets a little, it doesn't
very lazy.
Follow through. You're like, hey, I asked you to do that. And you know, in this many steps or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, yeah. My bad. Okay. Here's what
it is. Like, really? So it has a memory. So, and this is again, part of what we're learning with this is it seems like it's having a memory that if you get into, because you can go back onto a prompt. So, you know, it saves all your prompts. So you can go back, that one I had started on, but it only goes back. And as far as we can tell, it only will go back 5 conversations.
Okay.
So if you're trying to go back to something, sometimes that's why it gets lazy. The other thing that we've noticed too is time of day. If it's busier, like sometimes I'll get cut out. It's like, you're done. You're in timeout until this time.
Yes. I've heard that before too. Yes.
But, and so you have to understand all of everything that's happening right now, you know, it's all in servers. Mm-hmm. Servers are physical.
Yes.
I mean, all of this stuff is in the cloud, but there are servers. And if you go in, if I flew into Dulles in January, and as we were driving, my friend was driving me back to the airport, and there is server farms. I mean, literally server farms. And it's just server after server after server after server. Well, so
there are a lot of downtown areas that they have skyrise buildings that are, you know, with all the commercial real estate and people being out of offices. There are literally entire buildings that you would have no idea until you walked in there that all they are servers. That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. It has to go somewhere. So, I mean, that's the thing you need to realize. There are slow times.
Yep.
And depending on how many people are on, sometimes I get on and it's like, oh, I can tell there's a lot of people on.
It's like Wi-Fi, right?
Everybody
gets upset. I mean, we've experienced it today on the show, right? We're in such a weird world where we're sitting here with this little box in our hand, right? And it literally has all the information on the planet contained in it. And it's just a miracle of technology. And when it glitches up for like 2 seconds, we're like, ah, this is junk. What is this thing? Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. Like, let's put it in perspective a little bit. When we were kids, like you had to go to an Encyclopedia Britannica and hope that it had been updated in the last 20 years to have accurate information. Like, you know, it's all perspective to a certain extent, right? Is this tool the most powerful thing that's ever hit the planet? Yes. Is it perfect? No. Okay. It's not. And it's working in that direction, but it certainly isn't there. And you have to understand that when you're using it, that it's not going to be exactly what you're looking for every time. But when you understand the power of what it can do, especially for your business, when you can go in and create all these things and save yourself so much time. Look, commissions, if there's a realtor out there that doesn't think that commission overall is going to be impacted by all of these settlements, then I think you're crazy. Okay. Like they are going to be impacted and more than likely in the negative direction. And so because of that, your time and your money is so imperative now, because you have to find ways to operate your business at the lowest possible cost you can, because there's going to be an impact on how much money you're going to be able to make doing this going forward. And knowing that, and especially if you're a broker, if you are a broker and you're running an entire brokerage and managing multiple realtors and having this business that you have to operate on a day-to-day basis, and you don't know how to use a tool like this, it's going to revolutionize how you run your brokerage.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you, when we talk about, all right, so we talked a little bit about creating value proposition. We talked about putting together marketing stuff and the importance of that. But when we look at another thing like just some day-to-day business operations, things that a realtor does on a day-to-day basis, whether it's creating listings, whether it's creating flyers that they're going to go with their listing to promote, what are some of the tools that chat can do that you understand that realtors do on a day-to-day basis that can really streamline the process a little bit too? And I know chat has a lot of integrations like with Canva. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So in the GPT store, Canva, you can go into the GPT store under chat. You have to have the paid version. So you have to be on Plus.
$20 a month.
And then just type in Canva. And there's a Canva. It used to be a plugin. Now they're calling it a GPT. And so you click on Canva. And then now you're communicating with Canva. And what's really cool is like you can have it. And that's honestly where I see, and we'll get into this in the workshop, is taking that value proposition, setting that up on a prompt. But then you can integrate with Canva. So you have the Canva GPT that you're communicating with. And you have the prompt that is, the value proposition, and it writes that. And then you tell it, okay, Canva, make this into a presentation for me, and it'll give you two different options. And then you can really get into, I want it in these colors. So you can put all of your hex colors in there and you can set all of that up. Canva will give you those options. And then when you click on those options, what happens is it ends up opening into your Canva account. Yes. So you have to have a Canva account. You have to link them. So you have to sign in. You have to do it just one time. So one time you do it and then it links and then you're always there. And then you open it in your Canva account and now you can create it in Canva. So you give it that prompt. I've made slide decks. And we're still working through some of the slide decks, not, 100%, but they're getting better.
It's not perfect. I've used it. It's not exactly perfect. You have to, but it saves you so much time. It's kind of like if you use Canva to create, Canva has the best thing about Canva is it's got 10 million templates. So if you want to create a YouTube, thumbnail, or if you want to create a, a flyer or whatever, they're all in there. Okay. So what this is this is like creating a template for you for something very specific that you're trying to do. You're going to have to go in and adjust the color scheme, move some words around. It's not perfect when it comes to like creating text. Like that's a thing that it's still working on. So you may have to go in, but it will put the general features together for you. So then you can go in and edit. It's kicking the boulder down the hill so you can ride the wave and fix it instead of you having to push that thing and try to come up with it on your own.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's so many, so Canva has, because Canva has ChatGPT integrated in it, You can do it in ChatGPT. You can also get into Canva. I just went through this with a client in creating a new website. We have a book that we're getting out on Amazon for her. And so we wanted to create a promotional website for it. And in Canva, honestly, you can just, with a few prompts, put it into its, it's called Magic AI. And it created a really cool website. Mm-hmm. And then you honestly can go into your DNS and GoDaddy and link it. I mean, it's like, normally to do something like that would
take... You gotta be a wizard computer programmer.
You'd probably pay somebody, you know, $12,000 in order to build something like that. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
So, you know, those are the kind of things that are really cool when you're thinking about the other things you can do with it. And Canva has done a very good job of integrating. They kind of started down the road a little bit before other companies did. So I think they definitely have an advantage. And then obviously the integration, and that's the whole thing too. You're starting to see more integrations now with ChatGPT. The other thing, if you use any Zapier connections at all, is you can create a Zapier connection straight into ChatGPT to where you can take what you're getting out of ChatGPT and you can zap it into email, into your social media, into a spreadsheet. I mean, all of these different things. And I have just started playing around with that. It's like, I honestly wish there was like 48 hours in a day because I would spend 24 just playing in the AI sandbox.
It's difficult because if you were to go back to somebody, if this was 1997, right? And you were to say to someone, which is the year I graduated high school, by the way, if you were to say to somebody then, hey, you should really spend some time learning how to use the internet, right? People are like, what do you mean the internet? I mean, I know it's like AOL online, like, that thing's slow. It takes forever. The dial up thing. I don't have time. It takes 6.5 hours. You know, like the vast majority of the population, it wasn't that they didn't know that the internet existed. It wasn't that they didn't understand that the internet was an effective tool. They just didn't really grasp the power of it. And then the dorks, we called them at the time, that sat home all day long and learned how to code and learned how to write web pages and learned how to use email and learned how to, you know, develop images and do all that. Those are the billionaires today. Okay. Right. Like those are the people that are employing, you know, 80% of the population or less and less as AI gets growing. But my point of that is that this is something that isn't just, hey, here's a cool little PowerPoint that you can use for your business and it's going to be helpful. No. If there's anything that you can spend your time learning about other than if you want to spend like, you know, go to your CE courses for how to do an open house or what, I mean, that all plays a role. Don't get me wrong. But if there's anything else that you need to spend a good chunk of your time learning about and learning how to use and learning how to communicate with and learning all the tools associated to it, it is this. And I don't know that there's anything else that even comes close to trumping how important this is to be able to understand it, especially not just in your business, but in your entire life for the next 15 or 20 years.
Yeah. It's big. I love that 1997 with the internet. And I'll give you an example of that. So in 1997, I owned Subway franchises.
Okay.
And I was the chairman for the board of directors for Subway's marketing.
Okay.
Board. And we had made the decision at that time to purchase the domain subway.com and paid $1 million for it. So somebody had the foresight to go buy that domain, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Knowing
that you were going to show up one day
of that. And so that's exactly where we're at. It's like, it's the people that said, wow, this internet thing's going to be pretty big. I'm going to go buy a bunch of domains and then turn around and sell them. Because back in 1997, $1 million was a lot of money to pay for a domain. And a lot of it's like, really? I mean, seriously, this is going to, it's like, take off. It's like, yeah, seriously, this is going to take off. Yeah. And so that's where we are right now. Yeah. We're fortunate in our lifetime, me in particular, to have been a part of some monumental things that have happened. This is bigger than anything we've ever been through in the past.
Yes. And that's not even exaggerated. I don't think that that's even remotely. Look, I'm not a person, if anybody's listened to this show in any period of time, I am very low key on a lot of things. Like, not, we're not getting, you know, exacerbate. Hey, everybody relax. It's not going to be the end of the world. This isn't to get clicks. This is the truth. It is absolutely the truth. And if you don't fully understand it, I understand why, because we're all living our lives. We've got kids. I've got to go to, you know, baseball practice tonight. My daughter's going to a volleyball tournament, and, you know, and we have all these things going on. We got to run our business. I got to do loans. I got to submit files. All that stuff is happening. But if you don't have this on your radar, and if it isn't something that you put as a core to your understanding of how your business is going to be for the next 20 years, then you are going to be left behind. And that is not an exaggeration at all, because there are literally, I'm actually having a, this is going to make people upset, I think, but in 2 weeks, on the show, I'm having a lady from, she's from New York, and she's created a company that will represent sellers at basically a reduced, you know, cost, essentially, and handle most of the transaction for them. And it's all based on AI. And and it's, she's going to come talk about it. I'm going to have a lot of agents that are going to be upset about this, but you have to know what the landscape of the industry is. You have to know what's coming. You have to be aware of these things that are going to be a threat to your business. And she even says, when we were talking to her, she's like, look, this isn't what we are doing. This isn't for the person that's selling their house for the first or second time ever. This is for somebody who's sold 5 or 6 homes, 8 homes over their years. They understand kind of how it works. You know, she understands that that's what she's building. And it could, you know, she could build this thing. It couldn't get gain traction. It could fall apart. Who knows?
Yeah.
But the point being is that these types of businesses and these types of things are occurring, and a lot of them are being based around AI, and a lot of them are trying to put the control of the transaction in the consumer's hands. And so the more you can stay in front of it, and the more that you can understand how these, how this stuff works, the more opportunities you're going to be able to create for yourself as this market starts to change and evolve. And that's going to be the importance of you being able to sustain your business for the future.
Yep, absolutely.
So, well, Ginger, I appreciate your time. You know, we're at an hour now, so we run long. We can talk about this forever, but I do want to encourage everybody. Again, Ginger and I are going to be at the Arlington Board of Realtors on April the 17th. It's going to be from 1 to 4 o'clock. It's going to be an active workshop. You have to bring your laptop. You're going to walk out of there with personas. You're going to walk out of there with prompts. You're going to walk out of there with the book. So all of this stuff is going to be put together for you. So when you leave that workshop, you're going to have tools and activities that are going to be put together for you that are going to help you with your business going forward. We're going to help you build that stuff while we're there. And you're going to have a much greater understanding of how all of this works. So when we start, you know, there, look, Ginger has an entire course on this that I've gone through that is hours long, that there's so much to it that we can only touch on such a small amount, even in that 3 hours. I mean, you could literally have a 10, 12, 14 hour workshop on this and still not get to everything, but you have to start somewhere. You have to have a base, and that's why this is going to be so important. So I encourage everyone, you know, to come and check it out. I did put a link already in the comments. I'm going to, again, have a link in the show notes, but anything else you'd like to say to everybody before we go, Ginger?
No, I think just get started. I mean, hop in, play around with it, have fun in the sandbox, and share. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Yes, you know, share, feel free to share, because, you know, we're all going to grow together in this.
Yep. Yep. All right, guys. Well, I hope everybody has a great weekend. We have the eclipse coming up. I know you're not in the path of the eclipse, but it's kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal here in Texas. Like, we have Airbnbs sold out. We're going to get like a full eclipse for like 3.5 minutes where I'm at. So kids are getting out of school. It's a whole thing, but, that's going to be on Monday. So hope everybody enjoys that. Have a great weekend, and we will see you guys next week.